Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Homu Casino Resort, the Player's Place.
Breaking and tragic news from the NFL as we start hour number two here this morning with Ben and Woods. Woodsy's off today. Me and Paulie get you going until 10 o'clock. Sammy Levitt's going to join us at 8 o'clock, but a statement from the NFL just a few minutes ago. We are deeply saddened by the tragic news of the passing of Cowboys Marshawn Neyland. Our thoughts and prayers are with his girlfriend Catalina, family, friends, and his teammates. We've been in contact with the Cowboys and offered support and counseling resources. No word on what happened. Neyland, just 24 years old, was the second round draft pick out of Western Michigan of the Cowboys last year. Has been playing a little bit like special teams. Paulie said he had a touchdown on a punt block.
Yeah, I just saw a highlight clip from Monday Night Football this week. There was a blocked punt and he ended up recovering it in the end zone for a touchdown.
Shocking.
Oh man, 24, that's so sad.
24 years old, and again, no indication on a potential cause of death, whether it was an accident or whatever happened or something medical. We will of course keep you updated if we hear anything, but clearly just a very sad story in the NFL.
Oh yeah, this is his own first and only touchdown of his career just a few days ago. Probably as good as you could possibly feel in your life, and then just it's over a couple of days later. Oh, that is heartbreaking.
As a parent of a pair of 20-somethings, I look at his birth date, and it's 2001. And
it's so sad.
So unbelievable, shocking, and sad news. So if we hear anything updated on that story, we'll let you know. But Cowboys are scheduled to play again, what, on Sunday? Are they off this week? I don't know what their schedule is.
I'm not sure.
I think they might have a bye this week, so I don't know. We'll get an update from Dallas on that story as more details become warranted. Okay. Meanwhile, I mentioned the Aztecs.
Segue that, Ben.
It's a tough one, but had to get that news out there. So we were talking yesterday about, we've talked a couple of times this week about the attendance issues at SDSU football. Had the comments from the Wyoming coach, basically, you know, mocking San Diego State's lack of attendance for the game last week, saying, hey, I'm so happy to be in Laramie, you know, where everything's apparently peachy keen, and not in San Diego, where they only had 17,000 plus at the game against Wyoming last week. And we talked about some of the reasons why, you know, San Diego State football hasn't necessarily gone the same direction as basketball, even though they're 7-1 now this season. Why haven't they, you know, the attendance matched? And one of the big issues that we identified was cost of tickets at Snapdragon Stadium. There are tickets available for the Boise State game. We checked yesterday, but only like 300 of them were the cheapest tickets, like 60 to 80 buck tickets. And everything else was in the, you know, club or premium sections. They were 100, 200 or more, which is a lot to go to a college football game. And we explained, well, this is the pricing structure that the Aztecs came up with to help pay back the debt, you know, the loans that they took out to build Snapdragon Stadium a few years ago. And they can't simply just say, well, we're now going to charge a quarter of that price to get people into the stands because they're not going to make enough money to pay off their loans. It's pretty simple, but they do need to get people into the stadium. Yesterday, one of our local politicians, Supervisor Jim Desmond, sent out a statement saying SDSU needs to basically lower ticket prices. They need to get more people in there. They need to make it more affordable. SDSU has responded and yesterday announced a $2 for $40 ticket deal for the Boise State game.
I just pulled it up online. It's right there on their main page. There's a little pop-up window, and it says San Diego State versus Boise State, 2 for $40. Buy tickets now.
Now, they did a flash sale, I think, for the Cal game as well, which was their best attendance of the season, where they did like a $15 ticket deal. This is $20. Don't know how many are available, but if you are interested in taking advantage, as you just said, it's online now. You can look that up and perhaps make plans to go see the Aztecs hosting Boise State, which could be a massive, massive game next week, especially if the Aztecs win on Saturday night in Hawaii. They'll be undefeated and could clinch, I believe, like a spot in the Mountain West Championship game next week, and even potentially home field advantage. They could host that game at Snapdragon Stadium. If they win their next two, they'll be in really good shape, potentially with like a two-game lead and three to play over the rest of the Mountain West heading to the end of the year. So there's definitely the possibility that a Mountain West Championship game could be coming to Snapdragon Stadium, and you win that one, well, you're at least eligible for the college football playoff. I know the number crunchers, and I saw them going through it on ESPN yesterday, the group of five possibilities. They had mostly, you know, some of the other schools like Memphis were in like the 20% range. They had San Diego State at 4%, but they had a chance. That's not zero.
Yeah.
They had a 4%. They were the only Mountain West school that they considered that had any possibility of reaching the college football playoff. Now, it's a long shot. That's one in 20, essentially, to get to the college football playoff. But it's not dead. That dream is still alive for San Diego State. If they went out, they could have a chance to at least make the college football playoff for the first time. So if you want to get excited about Aztecs football, here's your perfect confluence of events. $20 tickets, good opponent in Boise State, and a chance to take command in the Mountain West en route to what could be a very special season on Montezuma Mesa.
Yeah, I'm just looking right now. You can get the 2 for $40. It's all on the home side. It's the 300 level. And on the visitor's side, you can get any seats up in the 200 level.
And by the way, you talk about 200 or 300 levels, upper deck.
It's still a good
seat. Snapdragon Stadium. They're all pretty good seats. I've been to a few games, sat in different places, and there's like no bad seats in that place because it's not a 60,000 seat stadium. For a football game, you feel remarkably close to the action.
Yeah, the top of the 300 level still feels like the middle of
big
NFL stadiums.
At the queue, it would feel like the middle of the stadium, even though you're at the top of the stadium at Snapdragon. The other Aztecs news that was out this morning from the UT are comments from J.D. Wicker, who is exploring the possibility of a contract extension already with Sean Lewis.
Ban.
Really fast. Remember, I don't know, a couple months ago, wondering if Sean Lewis was going to make it, past his second season as head coach at San Diego State. They just lost to Washington State. Not looking good after a 3-9 first season for Sean Lewis. Now, the worry has flipped. And with so many openings around college football, and remember, I don't necessarily think that Sean Lewis is going to be the next coach at Florida and make that jump. But remember, Florida may hire someone from a school that will then need to hire someone from a lower division school. And that's when
San Diego State's so low, they're not even the feeder to the big schools. They're the feeder to the big schools.
Yeah, they're two steps away from at least like the big SEC programs that are looking for a new head coach. I don't think anyone's jumping into the Mountain West. Now, if he makes it to the college football playoff, well, you know, all bets are off, and you know, he might be a candidate for any job. At this point, I don't think he's a candidate for one of those major jobs, but he could be a candidate for a Power 4 job somewhere else that is looking to fill their vacancy that happens at the end of the season. J.D. Wicker said, yeah, we've already had some at least preliminary discussions, feel comfortable about where we are. Sean Lewis signed a 5-year deal at the beginning of his tenure, so he's only in the second year of that deal. He's got 3 more years left, but as with any coaching deal nowadays, there's a buyout. I believe I saw it's $3 million if Sean Lewis wants to leave before February 1st, and then it'll be $2 million after February 1st. That doesn't come out of his pocket, though. If there's a school out there that has deep pockets and wants Sean Lewis, I don't think $3 or $2 million is really going to be the deal breaker, especially when you're seeing schools fire coaches with
like 50 plus million,
$50 to $70 million still left on their deals. another school is going to be able to find the extra $2 or $3 million to buy out the coach that they want to hire. So, yeah, there's a legitimate possibility that Sean Lewis could at least be considered somewhere else. And, you know, J.D. Wicker wants to find a way to make sure he stays around. Now, is it too early in your mind, Paulie, to start like extension raises for Sean Lewis? You know, it's 7-1 record. Is that enough to tell you that he's the right coach for the job at San Diego
State?
It's
definitely trending that direction.
It's trending there.
It's absolutely trending there, and I don't really care one way or the other too much. But
it used to be like, hey, do something. Like, win me a conference championship, then show me you come back and do it again the next year, and let's talk about a contract extension.
Right.
Now it's have one half of one good season. You had one bad season at 3-9. Now you've had one half of one good season, and you already have enough leverage that the AD is calling into the office going, well, what do we think about the future here? I mean, one half of one good season.
Hmm. Yeah, it's pretty remarkable.
Whatever happened to like actually accomplishing something? He hasn't done anything yet. He's on the road to potentially doing something, but he hasn't accomplished anything yet, and already those discussions are happening.
Hasn't coached a bowl game yet.
Qualified for one.
Hasn't coached in one yet.
That's the main accomplishment. He has qualified for a bowl game this year. Has not gotten to one.
The bar that low here in San Diego.
I mean, the bar has to be Mountain West Championships, right? I mean, and then Pac-12 going next year.
Yeah.
If you don't get to the college football playoff, and I don't think that's a reasonable expectation. I'd love to see it, but I'm not going to say your coach is a failure if he doesn't get you to the college football playoff.
Not here.
Not from where he was starting. That's unreasonable. But at San Diego State, you look at the schools they're competing against in football. There's no reason why you can't win your own conference. Boise State is the biggest team standing in your way. But everything else, there's no reason Wyoming, Colorado State, UNLV, New Mexico, Hawaii should have a better program, really in any sport, than San Diego State.
Agreed.
Resources, location, just overall campus, student body. There's no reason any of those schools should have a better athletic program in any sense than San Diego State. It's embarrassing that the baseball team hasn't been able to turn it around in recent years, and maybe they will under Kevin Vance, their new coach, and got Steven Strasburg back in the fold, but that level of competition, you should be dominating at this point if you're San Diego State. And I get it. Everyone's trying. There are some good programs with some history, UNLV, New Mexico in basketball, Boise State in football. But overall, San Diego State should dominate the Mountain West. And largely they have. In a lot of sports, they do. Basketball, they have. They have more championships than any other school in basketball. I think that's what we care about the most. If you go to the Olympic sports, you know, soccer, other sports, they've done pretty well over the years. So they've done a good job, but football is the one that golf, our beloved Steve Sugimoto, they have gotten to the national championship a few times. Yeah, but football is the one that everybody cares about, and you have to have success against those other schools in football.
It's the one everybody at the school cares about, like the people that, the decision makers, like they can't do their job well unless the football team.
No, and I think people are going, well, no, they really care about basketball more. They
with their heart, yeah.
In their heart, yes. But with their wallets, they have to care about football the most.
Yep.
Because football is the most expensive sport to put on by a wide margin.
Until they close up shop with the football program, which I don't think is ever going to happen at San Diego State, like until they're fully only a basketball school like a Gonzaga, and again, that's not going to happen, but they just opened up a new football stadium. It's going to be a football school, money-wise.
You have like 8 times more scholarships for your football program than you do for your basketball program. Like,
how about this? A couple of weeks ago now, I think it's been, we talked about the very generous donation from the guy that started Blender's Eyewear. A $5 million donation to the school, like $1 million a year in NIL money for the athletes.
That's mostly for the basketball
program.
My
first thought was, is that for the athletic program?
No,
or is that for the basketball team?
That's for the basketball team.
It is.
Yes. That is targeted for the basketball team. Now, some of that goes to the Campanile Foundation.
Sure.
Just with any donation, that part of it will be able to use for general funds. But the majority of that donation is to retain and recruit basketball players.
I'm just saying that's the exception to the rule, not the rule itself, because most schools get a giant donation
like
that.
It's for their football program.
90% of that money is going to the football team.
But there's no one in San Diego with the the wallet and the heart to do that for the football team. For the basketball team, yeah. Yeah, Coach Fisher and Coach Dutcher have engendered enough excitement and passion for their teams that people with money are willing to make donations. But we have yet to see that on the football side, really.
It's the chicken or the egg. You need the resources to develop the winning program, but you need the winning program to get the resources.
Very good point. All right, don't forget, all guests on Ben and Woods appear on the David P. Shapiro Fan Hotline. David P. Shapiro, criminal defense attorneys, helping good people regain control of their future when charged with a crime since 2010. Visit DavidPShapiroLaw.com. Got our Padres smorgasbord at the bottom of the hour, looking at free agent projections for some of the Padres free agents. Five of the key ones, including Michael King and Dylan Cease. But first, Don't Do This is coming up next. I had an NFL player fined in a very ironic moment for emulating a skit about getting fined or flagged by an NFL referee.
Saw this in real time on NFL Red Zone over the weekend. It was fantastic.
Pretty amusing.
We didn't talk about it on Monday, but now there's an update.
Yeah, he's officially been fined. Okay. So we'll talk about that coming up next with Ben and Woods. Paulie, in today instead of Woods. Well, you're in today every day. But you're kind of co-hosting today with Woodsy at Disneyland on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot, you moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Don't do this, brought to you by Trust and Will.
Don't.
Thank you. Leave your entire estate, house, kids, and life savings up to chance if and when you die.
Do.
Set up a Trust Your Will online at trustandwill.com.
This
is a lot more affordable than you think. Visit trustandwill.com for more info. We've got a case of life imitating art in the NFL.
This is amazing.
And it costing running back Rico Dowdle of the Carolina Panthers $14,491. That was the fine reported yesterday by ESPN for his touchdown celebration on Sunday in a 16-13 win in which he emulates, and I remember seeing this skit, probably saw it online, but from Key and Peele, in which football player named Hingle McCringleberry.
The best.
Rico Dowdle is also a great name, by the way. This could be like a real or fake football player name segments. Celebrates touchdowns by doing pelvic thrusts, or pumps, as they call them in the video. And in the skit, McCringleberry scores his touchdown. And he's allowed, according to the fake Key and Peele rules, two thrusts before he's flagged.
That is one. You get one. On the second one, you get flagged.
I thought the third one you get flagged. Is the second one?
I thought it was the second
whatever.
One.
You're allowed yeah. a certain number. He does one, and then
puts the hands up, and he does one hip thrust.
And it's fine.
And then there's a pause.
And then the referee is like right there, like
Jordan Peele's the ref,
so
and he's like
closely.
Up close, right near his hips and his junk, and he's just sitting there, and he's watching, and he's waiting for it, and everyone's looking around. And then he just does the slightest hip thrust, and they
flag
throw the flag immediately.
Flag comes out. They do it a couple of different times. It's pretty funny. If you haven't seen the skit, it's amusing. So Rico Dowdle thought he would see if he could match that. And when he scored, he did a double pelvic thrust. One, and then the flag comes out, and he is fined and penalized by the NFL. I guess they don't like hip thrust celebrations at all, apparently. Skit or no skit, Dowdle was fined $14,491.
Lighten up, NFL. Lighten up, Roger Goodell. Get a sense of humor, please.
Bensplaining pelvic thrusts here. Yeah,
pretty good. Yeah, the Hingle McKringleberry, anytime they did the NFL stuff on Key & Peele, very funny. Woods had never seen like the player introduction video. That was like what they were most known for. They did all these ridiculous player, you know, hey, I'm Paul Reindel from San Diego State or whatever. And it was like Hingle McKringleberry from South Northwestern Technical College.
Yeah.
You know, it was really, really good. I've got a bit of a hybrid don't do this and do this all in the same story. I'll start, I guess, with the do this.
DD mega do.
Congratulations to Alex Ovechkin, the NHL legend, who I can't even say is joining this new exclusive club. He has founded the 900 goal club. He got his 900th goal yesterday in the NHL. And so that right there is a do this. The don't do this comes from what the cameras picked up, where the goalkeeper for the other team retrieved the puck out of the net and then appeared to shove the puck down his large goalie pad and pants.
Just like back pocket, but
like
inside
right on the hip.
He's
just
pants,
sliding the puck down there, and a referee sees the whole thing and skates over to the goalkeeper or the goaltender, and he goes, "Hey, man, what are you doing? You gotta give that up. Give that up to them."
This was the St. Louis Blues, I believe, keeper.
Yeah, the Blues. He like has to skate over, and he's fishing the puck
it
out of his
pants.
It does look
suspicious. Like,
is he pulling a prank? Like, you've seen, you know, Manny does it all the time. Guy gets their first knock or something. They throw a fake ball into the crowd, or they hide the first one or something like that.
Was he hoping to put this thing on, like, eBay at some point? And like, hey, I've got Ovechkin's 900th goal puck right here.
If that were the case, I would definitely say it's a don't do this. If it's just a playful joke, then it's a do this. I think that's funny. But I guess
they didn't let him pull it off either.
I haven't seen any comments or anything. He might have said something after the game.
Give it back. You're not skating away with the historic puck. 900 goals is nuts.
That's crazy.
You know, even Wayne Gretzky didn't score 900 goals. Now, Wayne Gretzky assisted on like three times as many goals as Ovechkin has. So in total points, he's so far ahead of everybody else, the great one. But in scoring, the king. And increasing his number over 900 is now Alex Ovechkin. All right, finally, do this.
DD mega do.
This was nice. We had the ceremony, obviously, to rename Peter Seidler Way, Imperial Avenue, part of that. Now Peter Seidler Way. We talked about that on the program the last couple of days. But in conjunction with that, this was very cool. The Padres and the Padres Foundation hosted their third annual care package assembly event in honor of Peter Seidler. Adrian Morejon and his wife Melanie were there. John Seidler, Eric Rupner, Tom Seidler were all there, putting together about 1,000 care packages for San Diegans experiencing homelessness. They put in some, you know, warm clothing, jackets, sweatshirts, toiletries, snacks, and more. And the care packages are then donated to 9 different local organizations supporting unhoused San Diegans, including Alpha Project, Father's Joe Villages, and more, so they can get those out to people who don't have a place to live, need some warm clothing, and they did it all to honor Peter Seidler, of course, was San Diego's most passionate and caring advocate for the unhoused in San Diego.
Yeah.
Just the incredible stories. I feel like you've all heard them, but they're always worth bringing up again, that the owner of the San Diego Padres would walk the streets of San Diego after dark at midnight and buy homeless people like a snack or a drink or a coffee or something
like
from 7-Eleven. Often. He would do this all the time without any fanfare, without any publicity. Finally, someone got a wind of it. I think it was the late Bryce Miller who found out about it and like went with him once to document it. So otherwise, we may have never known what was going on with Peter Seidler. Of course, he did.
That's how he would have wanted it. Honestly.
Well, of course.
He would have wanted to stay completely off everyone's radar with that. But I have no problem exploiting his good doings.
No, and if it inspires other people to do good things, that's why you really should publicize when you're doing something good, not so you get the credit and we can say, oh, what a great person he is. it's to inspire other people to follow in footsteps. You know, and if just one or two people like are inspired by this to help someone else out, then it is worth doing. And it was a very good thing by the Padres and the Padres Foundation with their care package assembly event in honor of Peter Seidler yesterday. And that is Don't and Do This for a Wednesday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, we've got our Padres smorgasbord coming up. We'll discuss the Athletic contract projections for five Padres free agents. Dylan Cease, Michael King, Luis Arraez, Ryan O'Hearn, and Robert Suarez. What's it going to take to keep any or all of those players in the Padres fold? What will they be getting on the open market when they go elsewhere? That is coming up next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. GEG 000466. For a full list of games and rules played at 7 Mile Casino, visit 7milecasino.com.
If you're looking for something to do tonight, may I suggest a plan to head down to 7 Mile Casino? It is San Diego's closest and best card room, offering a great action at their tables. California-style blackjack, Texas Hold'em poker, Pai Gow, and Baccarat. It does not require the deep drive into the East County as some of the other card rooms do. No big parking garage or slot machine-filled casino to deal with. Simply walk right in. You're sitting down at the tables. They've got limits for everybody. Got some lower limits if you're just going to have some fun. They also cater to high-limit players at 7 Mile Casino. If you're looking for real Texas Hold'em action, got some good tables, some no-limit action going on all hours of the day, open 24-7. And that's not just the card room. That's also Sammy's inside 7 Mile Casino, 24-7 players menu. Their kitchen is open all hours of the day. You don't see that in San Diego very often. We're not really a 24-7 town. But if you're looking for a great meal, you can do so at 2 in the morning at Sammy's at 7 Mile, which is fantastic. Other times of the day, you can go enjoy their great patio overlooking San Diego Bay or the bar. Full bar, televisions, sit down, enjoy a drink, and then sit down at one of the tables. Just lots of different ways to enjoy yourself at 7 Mile Casino. Check it out today. It's just 7 minutes from downtown.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Some intriguing news that Padres fans might be interested in out of Toronto. Get to that in just a second. First, a reminder, we've got our biggest fan announcement this morning coming up at 9 a.m. We will announce the next name on our list for the biggest fan. If you hear your name at 9 a.m., you'll have 10 minutes to call us back and qualify for the grand prize, a night in the Odyssey Suite at the Padres game next season. 20 tickets for you and your friends, and the fan staff will show up and watch the game along with you. You can register your name at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan in order to potentially have your name called. We're 3 for 3 so far this week in our biggest fan announcements on Ben and Woods. So let's make it 4 for 4 at 9 o'clock. Everybody be listening when we announce our next name. Sammy Levitt's going to be in studio at the top of the hour, but Pauly just pointed out a story from John Heyman of the New York Post that involves a name that, well, we were talking about in our first hour.
Yeah, how about that?
That is Don Mattingly, now former bench coach of the Toronto Blue Jays.
Yeah, Joel Sherman and John Heyman with the New York Post right here on their front page of their sports page. Don Mattingly is leaving the Blue Jays.
Ooh.
After the World Series heartbreak with two managing jobs open, Post exclusive. So reading it here, he is stepping away from the Blue Jays bench coach job. But it says here very clearly he is not retiring from baseball. He wants to stay involved in the game. His contract was up with the Blue Jays, so rather than renegotiating to stay as bench coach, he would like to explore other opportunities, it looks like.
Interesting. Now,
not a retirement.
I will ask the question. If he was about to be hired by the San Diego Padres, why go through the whole, yes, I'm still exploring other opportunities, just You'll find out what I'm doing in a couple of days. Just hang on. So I don't know why there would be need to even step away from the Blue Jays if you were going to be hired as manager. They can't stop you from taking a promotion in Major League Baseball. So I don't think this necessarily means he's a finalist or a candidate. But, you know, I have heard the name mentioned possibly. Maybe the Colorado Rockies are looking at Don Mattingly as well, or maybe he just wants a different opportunity in a different city and may return as a bench coach somewhere that is looking for a new coach. Padres will probably be looking for a number of new coaches on their staff, whoever they hire. We know Victor Rodriguez is already leaving as hitting coach and going to the Houston Astros, so that's at least one position that the new manager will need to fill going forward, and Don Mattingly is now a name that's available, whether it's for a manager or on a coaching staff possibly in the future.
I'd be surprised if it was for anything other than a manager job. And I know there's only two available, San Diego being one of them. Can't totally see him if he wanted to be a bench coach and just make that lateral move. I don't know why you leave the World Series runner-up, best team in the American League, hoping to get back there. Like, I don't know. It doesn't make sense for him to leave as bench coach of the Blue Jays to go be bench coach of the Minnesota Twins.
Correct. You know what I mean? I agree with you there. Something
you're going up. You're going.
Something is brewing somewhere.
Yeah.
Whether it comes to fruition or not, it definitely feels like something is brewing in Don Mattingly's universe at the moment. So keep you updated on what's going on there. Also, just a little nugget from Dennis Lynn, our friend from The Athletic, who hasn't had a lot of news lately. Did his off-season primer yesterday that he posted about the Padres. And the one line that I noticed that was interesting, because remember, it was Dennis in The Athletic that had posted the original story wondering about AJ Preller's future with the San Diego Padres. Like, is he going to get a contract extension? Could there be interest in him going elsewhere? Will there be a mutual parting of the ways early for AJ Preller? Of course, Eric Rupner came on our program and said he is not going anywhere. They are already talking, him and John Seidler, about a contract extension, but there has not been
a
contract extension. That's been like 3 weeks, and there has been no news, at least, released from the team. But one little nugget that...
Hang on, real quick. I expected Dennis's story to come out when it did. That was the time for that type of a story. And then Eric Rupner came on our show, like you said, the next Monday and said that they are working on that extension. If Eric Rupner never came on our show and mentioned that, would you be panicking at all? Or do you think there would be panic about why haven't they announced an extension for AJ Preller yet?
I think he definitely...
And because he mentioned that, that's kind of accelerated the panic. Like, all right, well, it's been 3 weeks now, you said.
I think if he hadn't said anything, that story could have spiraled a little bit more than it did. I think he tamped it down at the time. Now, it's been, as you said, more than 3 weeks, as Dennis wrote. As of yesterday morning, the Padres had yet to announce a managerial replacement or a contract extension for Preller. In parentheses, though, he says, team and industry sources say that could change any day, and that Preller has seemed as involved as ever in the search for Schilt's replacement. So, if there was any smoke, like, there's no contract extension, maybe AJ is leaving, would you let him take the lead in hiring a new manager if you expected him to be gone in a couple of weeks? No, of course you wouldn't. So the idea and the sign that AJ Preller is once again leading the charge to hire a new manager makes you pretty confident that he doesn't think he's going anywhere and the Padres don't believe he's going anywhere. Whether he gets the contract extension now, in a week, in a month, at spring training, or even at the end of next season, it sounds like for now everyone still believes it's business as usual at Petco Park.
I do believe the contract that he's currently on, that extension came in like February.
Yes, 2021.
Yes, it was a while ago, but
yeah.
It was not like October, November.
Now, I don't think he was going into his last year of the contract at that time, though. I think he might have had a couple
that.
Of years
yeah.
left, so this is the first time he's actually going into the last year
a lame duck season.
Of a contract, a lame duck season, which makes it a little bit different. But anyway, just thought I'd throw in that note from our friend Dennis Lynn from The Athletic. Let's check traffic. We'll get to some contract projections in the offseason for your San Diego Padres in our smorgasbord next year on 97.3 The Fan.
Here to hear to hear. Here to hear to hear.
Padres smorgasbord.
All right, never mind.
Yeah.
Call it something else.
I liked your surf and turf joke, Kelly, too. A dad joke right up my alley.
She said, reminds me of the jock that Woods and I used to work with.
There's only a couple.
I don't know.
But I don't know which one she's referring to.
My guess is they're walking up to the rope drop right about now, so he probably didn't hear that.
That's true.
I'm curious who that was.
All right. Padres smorgasbord today. Tim Britton of The Athletic had a long piece yesterday where he did some homework and projected salaries for key free agents around the league, including five key free agents from the San Diego Padres. And he explained his methodology, went through comparing other guys who were in similar free agent situations with similar numbers, both over the last 5 years and most recently. Their age is a factor. The economic environment was a factor. He added inflation. He also said, and I tended to be low on my projections last year, so bumped him up a little bit more than we thought, just so I could try to be right. He wants to be right on these things. And I was curious to see what did he come up with for these five Padres free agents, and what do Paulie and I think, and whether you'd be interested or if you think those numbers are accurate. So let's start with the guy I think we all agree is probably pitched his last inning for the San Diego Padres. That is Dylan Cease.
Dylan Thief.
He is projected by Tim Britton to get 6 years, $174
million. That actually sounds pretty damn close.
That's
to what
just
I would expect
under $30 million a year. Which this had two seasons with like 4.5 ERA in the last 3 years. It's had one good season, two not great seasons in the last three years.
I think you're looking at, the going rate for a starting pitcher that can give you that many innings pretty much every single year, not going to get hurt, durable. Are they the most aesthetically pleasing innings? Not always. Does he have some of the best swing and miss stuff in the game? Yeah. I think you are looking at $25 to $30 million for that guy.
He kind of compared him to guys like John Lester and John Lackey, who entered free agency. You're gonna get the strikeouts from Dylan Cease. That's always valuable. I mean, no matter what the ERA is, strikeouts are always gonna be valuable. And you get durability, or at least you think you get durability with Dylan Cease. I'm always hesitant to bet on durability, because if you're paying a guy for 200 innings or 180 to 200 innings, you can't necessarily promise. Just because he's done it in the past doesn't mean he's going to keep doing it in the future. Everybody's arm has a breaking point.
Sure.
And part of me says, the longer a guy goes without an injury, doesn't that make him more likely to get injured next year as opposed to less likely? Or you can say, hey, maybe the guy's just durable. He's like a modern-day Nolan Ryan, just doesn't get hurt, and he's going to be out there. And if that's the case, that's a huge value. There's at least a few teams out there that are probably willing to bet on Dylan Cease. Okay. So, yeah, I think that's a pretty accurate number for Dylan Cease. And
I don't expect
the Padres to pay.
No, God, no. Heading into the 2025 season, if he had a good year, I assumed, I don't know about the number of years, but I assume that total dollar amount would start with a 2. 200 million.
Yeah, if he had a better season,
and
I would think so.
He might have cost himself 20 to 30 million on a not great year, but he still showed enough that a team's going to be like, yeah, here you go.
How about Michael King? This one's interesting. He was a very difficult one, Tim said, to project because, well, he just doesn't have the resume necessarily that most free agents do. Had one amazing season as a pitcher and one injury-filled season as a pitcher. He went with 3 years, $75 million, but expects an opt-out like after every season in that deal for Michael King. So if he goes back and pitches well next year, he can opt out and get a much bigger, like a Dylan Cease-type deal 1 year later. If he doesn't, then he can opt back in for another $25
million. Oh, my gosh. If Michael King's seasons here in San Diego were flipped and his first year was injury-ridden, but when he was out there, like, he saw some pretty nasty stuff, and then he just threw everything out the door and just like was killing it this year, he'd probably be making $200 million this offseason.
I feel like Michael King's weird injury, though, the nerve thing,
the
that feels
wrong.
More fluky than anything else. I'm not so worried about it. I think Michael King actually may get more than that, like a fourth year.
You've seen enough.
A little bit more. I've seen enough.
You've seen enough that if obviously, if the Padres' financial situation was different and they had the money, you would lock him up for like a 6-7 year deal.
I mean, at the current financial situation, I would look at Michael King potentially on a at least 4 or 5. If other teams are only offering 3, I'd think about offering 4 or 5 and bet on Michael King. Bet on the person.
Well, he bet on that.
Bet on the stuff. I don't know, but if that's the projection, I'm interested. I'm very interested in Michael King. At $25 million a year.
I think if I'm Michael King, you're probably pretty okay with $25 a year. I think with the opt-outs, though, because he didn't really get that chance to have like a dominating 2025 and go into a full, like try to get that real big bag in the offseason. So he's going to want to do that again once he has a full, healthy season and performs better.
How about Robert Suarez? 3 years, $54 million.
I can see a team paying that, and it won't be the San Diego Padres.
It won't be the Padres. I can see even more. I mean, there's a couple teams that need a closer. The Dodgers need a closer. They could bid that thing up a little bit higher. I don't know that he'll be a Dodger, but...
I don't know if we saw him every night. I felt like he had a really, really good season. And yet, for whatever reason, almost every single outing,
really
I was
seasons.
Waiting for him to blow the save.
That's you,
and it didn't happen. It didn't happen. I wasn't super comfortable still with Suarez out there. But the numbers are what the numbers are. His resume is what it is.
I think he might get a little more than that. 4 years, more than the $70 to $80 million.
He's going to get paid. Absolutely.
Luis Arraez, 2 years, $30 million. That would be a raise over what he was making this year. I don't think he's getting a raise. I think after a down season and the current state of what's valuable in baseball, there will be teams interested. I think it's going to be less. I think it's 2 years, 22 to 24 million. I still don't think the Padres should be major players with Luis Arraez. They need power. They don't need Arraez filling a spot in their lineup this season. And then finally, Ryan O'Hearn, 2 years, $36 million. So $18 million a year. He has less of the track record, but is coming off an all-star, you know, really good season. That seems about right to me. 2 years, $36 million seems about right for Ryan O'Hearn. And I would be interested if I was the Padres in Ryan O'Hearn at something around that price tag.
I don't know that you're going to get anybody better to play first base for less, right?
Agree.
So,
I mean,
Pete Alonso
is going to cost twice as much and more years. So, you know, if that's something that you can convince Ryan O'Hearn to do, I'm very much in the conversation for Ryan O'Hearn, 2 years, around $36 million. I wonder what Sammy Levitt has to say about it all.
Hi, Sammy.
He has just stepped into the studio. He will join us for the second half of Ben and Woods. Looking forward to that. Coming up next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Don't go away.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.